Appreciate being here. I was thinking a little history, ancient history, you know, when I came here with Mother Teresa. You know, she's when we got married in 79, I thought, well, I'm going to marry somebody short. You know, it'd be easier to handle. No, didn't work out that way. But anyhow, that's our way. We came from Texas with her and her angry dad. He helped us. But anyway, he's in heaven now, so I can say that. But anyway, he didn't want me taken away from Texas. But it was actually 1980 B.C., and that was before children. But anyhow, but we're glad to be back here. We served here about 18 years, a little while, and just had a wonderful time here. And I think God led us here. We knew people in different churches in town, others studying for the ministry. We didn't know anybody here. But, you know, there's a fellow named Clifford Burrell, some of you know, knew. He's in heaven now. And he reminded me so much of my father that had an interest in us. Just an ordinary fella, but God used him. Brother Fred and Sharon were just like family to us and others, and many blessing to us. So we just appreciate being back here and serving here. Preacher Abels, served with him a few years, and then I knew I better get busy preaching somewhere, so I just kind of by faith, I just said to be happy with it here. Who wouldn't be in a church like this? But we just said, God, whatever you got, whatever you have for us to do. It wasn't long where he led us up there to this place in the country and been there about 18 years, and God's blessing there. Not many young people up there, but thankfully we're getting some young people different ages. We got a good King's Club Wednesday night. I felt led to restart that. We've had it before. And, you know, some of the parents of the kids started coming. So we actually have more young adults coming, and God's just working. We're using the ABCs on Christian growth on Sunday morning and one Sunday school class to disciple adults. And we're using it for the teens now, too. And I'm not going to keep talking about us. We need to get in this book. Exodus chapter 3. Exodus 3. Good to be here. Glad that you could come. And I see you're starting to fill up with this coronavirus stuff going on. And the church starting to fill up. Ours starting to fill back up again. Smaller a scale, of course. But I'm thankful for that. So let's look in the book of Exodus chapter 3. And we'll go ahead and start reading in verse number 6, if you're able to stand for the reading of God's word, Exodus chapter 3, verse number 6. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know of their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land, out of that land, unto a good land and large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these today that have come out to hear your precious word, to worship your holy name, to have fellowship, to sing these wonderful songs of Zion. Just to meet with you, God, what a pleasure it is. What a blessing to be in this place that is dedicated to your worship, to your service, and all the faithful people here and how you worked over the years, Lord. We thank you for that. And now I just pray you'll meet with us today. Lord, there could be one or more lost people here on the road to hell. Lord, if there's anyone like that this morning, that they'll see that their only hope is in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. God, that's the only hope for any of us. And I pray they'll turn from their wicked way today and come to you today. Each one of us, Lord, that's saved. Oh, God, touch our hearts today. Oh, how we need revival in our hearts and in our land. Lord, in such a confused time, such a dark time spiritually. But, oh, God, you put the light in our hearts, and you got the light in this word. And I just pray that you'll just bless this simple message today and just meet every spiritual need. Lord, you promised to be here with us. Cleanse me from all my sin today. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and just bless every hearer today, Lord. In Jesus' precious, lovely, wonderful name we pray. Amen. All right, I know this is a familiar story about Moses and his call, about Moses and how he was the reluctant leader who became one of the probably the greatest leader, spiritual leader of the Old Testament. And yet, Moses was insecure. We see that in this passage later on. God appeared to him in the burning, fiery bush. This thing had a fire that continued, but yet the bush was not consumed. One of the pre-incarnate appearances of Christ in the Old Testament. We're studying about Christ in all the Bible and how in the Old Testament, the New Testament, this scripture is not just about man and his salvation. Of course, that's a prominent theme. But it starts out in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In the last chapter, we just got through studying in our church of the scriptures, how it's about Lord Jesus and him coming back again. Throughout the scriptures, we need to see the Bible through a Christological viewpoint, all about God. It's all about him. And I know this is a church that emphasizes worshiping him. I've heard it several times this morning. We're not here to show off. We're not here to just fill a pew. We're not here in this earth anymore just to breathe air and just to have a good time. We're here to glorify God, to magnify him. He's worthy today. Thank God for all these faithful folks here today. Many of you served God for many years. And I know this old saying is, if it's new, it's not true. And if it's true, it's not new. But, you know, sometimes we hear things that just awaken our hearts. They may be new to us. So as studying this passage this year, helped me to see things I hadn't seen before. And I'm going to pass them on to you. But Moses here, he focused on himself. He said, verse 11, he said, "Who am I? Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" He was already a believer at that time. There's no doubt about that. He forsook the things that he had of Egypt. Hebrews 11 says he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You know, and that's a great thing for you young people. We see a lot of young people here today that you're going to have to make choices in your life also. And your church will lead you in the right way, of course, and your pastor and your leaders in the church and hopefully your family will lead you in the right way. But it's up to you to make those right choices. And Moses made some good choices, but yet he was focused on himself. And God was calling him to lead the people out. The people were in bondage. There's a desperate need. And he would lead them, of course, eventually across the Red Sea and on the way to Canaan land that we might touch on later. But he thought of, when we think about ourselves and our own abilities and maybe our own influence, we fall far short. We feel insecure. And we don't feel like we want to go forward in the Christian life. You know, he doubted if anyone would believe him. I know this is not unfamiliar to you. Chapter 4, verse 1. "And Moses answered and said, But behold, they'll not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee." God would have him go before the children of Israel and before Pharaoh himself, the powerful empire, evil empire, really a type of the devil. And he'd go before him and tell him that God sent him. And again, looking back on himself and looking maybe also on the other people and looking on the obstacles. You know, kind of like that majority report that came back. And when Moses later would send out 12 men, one from each tribe, to spy out the land. They were just on the brink of the promised land. God told them that area is all yours. It belongs to you. It is typical of the victorious Christian life, Canaan land. Instead, they wandered around in the wilderness. The majority were wrong. And why? Because they had their focus on the obstacles. There's many obstacles today. The Bible says, in the last days, men's hearts are going to wax worse and worse. Wicked men. Many are hardened to the gospel. But this book is alive today. The Bible said, the fields are still white unto harvest. And it's powerful. It's alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. This word, it has not diminished its power today. We still have the Holy Spirit. We got more than what Moses had back in that day, because we've got all 66 books of the Bible. And we've got the permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. And we don't need to focus on ourselves as an obstacle. We don't need to focus on the hardness of men's hearts or the difficulty of reaching people. He said, I'm not eloquent, basically, in verse number 10 of chapter 4. Moses said unto the Lord, Oh, my Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither hitherto for, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant. But I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. Believe it or not, I was too afraid to get up in high school. A freshman in high school, I got a pain in my side. I was supposed to give a speech in class. Now you can't hardly get me to shut up, you know. And wherever we go, I'm trying to talk to people and just befriend them and hopefully share the gospel with them. Out there, it's really nice because you go maybe eat breakfast somewhere and people actually talk to you. It's weird, you know. In Springfield, sometimes you sit in a restaurant trying to talk to somebody. What do you want? You know, they check their pocketbook, maybe. But, you know, there's opportunities here that there aren't there. It's different every place. But, you know, God opens things up. And to share a concern for people, befriend them, and many times there's opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. But here, Moses said, I'm not eloquent, you know, and the Lord says to him, Who made my man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or the deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? In other words, the Lord's saying to Moses, Hey, it's not about you. It's not about you. It's about me. I'm the creator. I'm the one. And you know what happened is, of course, Moses was called by God, but God revealed himself to Moses. Let's see how God revealed himself to him. First of all, he's the God who sees. In chapter 3, verse 7, he said, And the Lord says, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, have heard their cry by reason of this taskmaster's, For I know their sorrows, and I'm come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and so forth. Bring them up out of the land unto a good land, unto large, and a land flowing with milk and honey, and so forth. So he saw everything. He heard their cry, chapter 7, verse 7, the first part. He saw their sorrow. He knew their sorrow. He's aware. We've got a God that's so attentive and so aware of everything. Amen. A little sparrow drops to the ground, worthless in man's eyes. God sees it happen. God knows it happens. He knows every hair of our head are numbered. And by judging some of you folks, it's a little easier to count. No, I'm just kidding. It gets easier to count after a while. You know, we have less hair. But anyway, you know, God knows everything about us. He knows our down setting when we sit down, when we go to bed at night. He knows our uprising, first thing we do in the morning. He understands our thought afar off. He's acquainted with all our ways. And yet, God comes to visit us. Thank God. You know, God promises to be here this morning. He's over there at our church too. I believe that. His Bible said we're two or three, and there's a lot more than that, are gathered together in my name. There am I in the midst of them. I believe we need to claim the presence of God here today. We need in the morning in our bedroom, wherever we're at, to claim the presence of God every day because he's with us. So he's showing he's the God who sees. He saw all about them. He not only saw all the obstacles, he saw all these ites, you know, the Canaanites, Hittites, all the Hivites, whatever they were. He saw all those, but he also saw their potential for victory. He said, I'm sending you to this land. Sure, there's giants in the land. Joshua and Caleb saw that later on. We know there's giants in the land, but our God is able to deliver us. Right. You know, there's always giants when you want to serve God and please God. And God doesn't call everybody to be a Moses. God doesn't call everybody to preach. But God calls everybody to serve him. Right. And God wants us all involved in our church. And you know, it's going to take the grace of God and the power of God to you to be a faithful servant of God in whatever roles you have in life, as a mother, as a father, as a child, in obedience to your parents and following them, and even a child is known by his doings. People are watching you. For you to be affected, we're going to have to stop making excuses. We're going to have to stop thinking it's all about us and our inabilities. We're going to have to stop focusing on our obstacles all the time. We better start focusing on him. That's simple. I know that's what your church is all about. And nothing new here. So God saw Moses. He's a prominent man. He would be. He was still just getting started out then. God had to bring him through some more lessons. He was still a little wet behind the ears, I guess you'd say. But God brought him through some lessons later. But God had a message for him to be a spokesman to his people. But you know, God even saw Hagar in chapter Genesis 16 of Genesis. He saw this woman that was really an outcast. And she had a squabble with Sarah and her master and mistress, I guess you'd say. She was the boss. And she was jealous of her. And I think Hagar was making it a little hard for Sarah in the home. So she went and fled into the desert. She just gave up. And God, the Bible says, God saw her affliction. God sees us no matter if we're a big shot in men's eyes or a common person like Hagar, maybe an outcast or not well thought of. God sees us all. God went to the one place called Samaritan for a woman at the well. And she was not well thought of. But Jesus said he must needs go to Samaria. Every person is important to God. Everyone we meet has an eternal soul that'll go somewhere. Don't think of people as just other bodies, just individuals, whether they're irritating or not. We're all irritating sometimes, by the way. But, you know, think of them as an eternal soul that we can influence for Christ. But anyway, here, Moses, going to be his spokesman, speak to his people. God's got us to be spokesmen for him too. We're not all called to preach or to even teach. But God wants us, our bodies, to be living sacrifice to him. That includes our tongue. So God saw Hagar. He found her. He gave her a message of submission. So she had to submit to God and to the authority that was over here. Return to your mistress and submit thyself under her hands. That's just an example. God gave Hagar a second chance. He's a God of the second chance. Not only is he God that sees all, he's aware of all. He's attentive of everything. He's a God that sends. Notice what it says here in the passage. God was sending Moses back in Exodus chapter 3, and I turned somewhere else, but it's still there, I think. Okay, but God says, I've seen your afflictions, and I'm come down to deliver them. In verse 10, come now, therefore, Moses, start moving. Start following me. I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, unto God. Really, we're going into the devil's territory. Pharaoh is a type of the devil. The Bible says, I'll build my church. The gates of hell not prevail against it. This church here in Springfield has gone to deal with people. And many have come to Christ. Many through the golden ages have come to Christ. I'd like to start that at our church sometime. If God opens it up, we're work with senior saints, but this coronavirus kind of held us up on that. I still have a hope of doing that. Just think of all the people that have been reached for that ministry and other ministries of the church. Folks, your staff over the years, past preacher emphasizes it, and the staff giving themselves as a witness, and other folks in the church, a witness on their jobs, a witness in their neighborhoods. That's what God wants us to do, to serve him, to let our light so shine before men. God sent Moses, as we said later in the passage, he sent him to his own people to be a spokesman. You need to be a spokesman to your own people too. You like our preacher, Brother James, mentioned Sunday school about sharing things with his children about the Lord. And that's so important for parents to do. But you know, you kids, you can share stuff with your parents too. Look what God showed me in the Word today. You know, that'll lighten their steps. That'll encourage them. You know, God used great leaders, Moses, Joshua, Paul. He said he was called to be an apostle. Joshua, he said, you know, every no one's going to every soul step you take, No one's going to be able to stop you. I'm paraphrasing about Joshua. What a leader he was. He led God's people into liberty. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. What a man of God. How greatly used was he? But, you know, God uses everyday people, too. God used a little maid in Naaman's day, a little servant girl that told him about there was hope in Israel. And he went to the prophet, sent him to the prophet. God can use you. God's used many people in this church. Maybe you're not real able in certain areas, but just to love people and to lead them to church and eventually lead them to Christ. A little lad in his lunch came. You know what? In this great crowd of the 5,000, no doubt this young boy, he said, "I got something." And he had five fishes, and he had a couple loaves, little loaves of barley. And the disciples kind of looked down on it. They said, "What's this among so many?" And God blessed it. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he blessed it, and he broke it, and he fed the multitudes. Well, that's simple, folks. This is not rocket science this morning. But you know that we just take what little we have, and we come to Christ. What, you know, we may be backward. We may be, don't think we're the most likable person, our personality, whatever it is. Maybe we're not real gifted in certain areas. But God, the main ability, of course, is availability. We present ourselves to God. And God can take what little abilities that we have and bless and break them and feed the multitudes and feed, help other Christians, help the lost come to Christ. So think about Andrew. He wasn't one of the main followers of Christ, but he as soon as the Lord came to him, he said, "I got to go find my brother, brother Peter." And how God used Peter over the years. Yeah. Many stories like that. Just a shoe cobbler helped lead D.L. Moody to the Lord. And there was a man that was couldn't really speak very well at all, but the preacher didn't show up. It was in the country, and it was snowing. And a young man, about 14, walked in there, and he wasn't saved yet. And that man couldn't really preach a message, but he thought about what God would have for him to say. And he talked about, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man shall be lifted up. And he said, "Look and live." And that man was saved. And many multitudes came to Christ through his ministry. God uses everyday people. Ananias, one man that was a believer and a minister, he helped the Apostle Paul. And he said, "God's got a special ministry for you to the Gentiles. God's going to use you." God uses each one of us. We're not on the limelight. That's okay. It's not about us. It's about him. But the greatest thrill you can have is to be used of God. So God reveals himself to those he sends. And we know that in this passage, it was already mentioned in Sunday school about the great I am. Moses was insecure, but he says, "I am. Tell them I am sent you." And of course, that is the word for Jehovah. And it's kind of a promise in itself, you might say. He said, "I am Jehovah Elohim. I am the creator. I'm Jehovah Jireh." He taught in Genesis 22, the lamb, ram caught in the thicket. God provided himself a lamb, the Lord Jesus. Jehovah Shema, God is present. And so on, all the other compounds names of Jehovah. He pointed to himself. He said, "I'll go with you, Moses. It's okay. I know that you're not the greatest speaker in the world. That's okay. I know not everybody knows you. That's okay. But as long as God goes with us, then we can carry out our work in this life. We can be the kind of father, mother, child, Sunday school teacher, witness, church member, whatever it is God has for us to do. God has promises. He's a God who's present. The Bible says God is a very present help in time of need. How many of you are present this morning? All right. You know, it's possible to be present here, but not to be real present. You know, your mind can be somewhere else. Stay with me, young folks, okay? I don't have that much longer to go. But a very present help in time of need. So he's not just present. It's nice just to have God there. But he is a help, a present help in time of need. And not only that, he said, He's very present help. He's just right in there with us. And he's the one who's helping us. He said, as you know, in the Great Commission, he said, teach all nations, showing them the way of salvation, baptizing them. Of course, that is one of the ordinances of the church for a new believer. The first step of obedience. If you haven't taken that step, if you're saved, you need to take that step soon to be baptized. And then teaching them all things whatsoever I've commanded you. That's the third part. That is discipleship and following God as we learn more. But he says, as you do this as a church, yes, God's the sender. He's the one who sent Moses. He sent Joshua. He sent holy angels. And he could use the rocks if he wanted to. But he uses created beings, mankind, even though we fall short, to carry out his work on this earth. He said, I'll be with you, refuge and strength. He said, let your conversation be without covetousness. Don't think about, well, I don't have this and don't have that. And so-and-so, brother so-and-so's got this, sister so-and-so. And you know, that fella can sing so well. And I can't sing, you know, carry a tune. People covering their ears, things like that. But you know what? Don't think about them. Think about that God being with you is enough. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And that's especially in the context, like in the Great Commission, of him carrying out his work. In this passage alone, there's several other promises. Not only did he's a promise in himself, the great I am. Like Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, the life, the door, the water of life. All the rest of it. He's everything that we need. But he says, I have visited you. I will bring you up, verse 17. I will do wonders among you, verse 20. I will give you this people favor or influence. We need influence with folks. Not with as far as popularity. I'm not talking about popularity. But I mean that we can get an ear in someone's life, that someone can see that we really care. All they hear about are the stars that have, you know, like they say, the most attention people have is a falling star. Someone that has turned away from their faith. And some that's been a bad example. We see the falling stars. But what about those that are still shining for Christ? And God can use you to help someone. God can use you to help a struggling Christian. Maybe someone's just on the brink of giving up. And God can help you just by a little love and encouragement. It's not just pointing a finger at someone, and this is what you're supposed to do, and this is what you're not supposed to do. It is part of it to show what the Bible says, but it's also just showing love and spending time with them and caring for people and mentoring them, being there when they mess up. Not, again, just pointing your finger at them when they mess up, and remembering back to when we, you know, always fall short in different ways. But he's a God who promises. He is a God who prepares. You know, Moses, he said, what am I going to do? They're not going to listen to me. He said, I got something to give you. In chapter 4, verse 2. And the Lord said unto him, what is in thine hand? He said, a rod. God, and he had whatever he had, God could use it. If it was all good and not anything against the Bible. And he said, cast it on the ground. Cast it on the ground, it became a serpent. Moses fled from before it. Boy, that's kind of scary. I know Brother Fred doesn't like snakes very much. So we've had a few tricks with him during the years about that. But anyway, they cast the snake. You know, I love snakes, but I don't like being surprised by them. One time I was in Colorado with our son and taking a step, and there was this real colorful snake, kind of a big one. And it was at Red Rocks, I think we call it, or whatever they call it there, out of Colorado Springs. So we quickly made an exit, went a different way. I'm scared of snakes myself. But you know, he made that rod of snake. God will use whatever you have. We have more than Moses did. We have this completed book. We have the potential to be filled with the Spirit of God. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came upon them for service. But they did not have the permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We're in the age of the Holy Spirit, really. That God said, in the last days, I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. I believe in our day there's a potential for the outpouring of the Spirit of God. That's right. God says that the sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood and all this stuff. It hasn't happened yet. So after Pentecost, we're still in that age where there's potentials. God's working in amazing ways. I want to be a part of that. if a great revival happens before the rapture, I want to be a part of that. He's a God that promises. He's a God that prepares. He gave him what he needed. God prepares us, sometimes with trials. And you know, we don't like that. But the New Testament says that after you've suffered a while, then I'll establish you and strengthen them. We have to have, if we got everything handed to us and everything was just roses all the time, we'd become like spoiled brats, wouldn't we? But we need that strengthening that comes from trials in our life and trusting in him. We got a sword. Moses had a rod. We got a sword, the word of God. We have the whole armor of God that's been exposed to us in Ephesians chapter 6, the shield of faith, the sword already mentioned, two-edged sword, the Bible. We've got our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the helmet of salvation. We've got all we need, but we need to take advantage of that. God's presence, God's power. And notice after all this, Moses still was thinking it was just too overwhelming for him. You know, sometimes our job as a Christian, it's too overwhelming. You know, the Bible says God will never give you something you can't handle. I don't agree with that. The Bible says that Moses said we were above strength. We were out of measure, pressed out of measure. In 2 Corinthians, he said, but we had the death sentence in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves. There are things we can't handle. But God gives us the grace to handle those things. He's not only a God who sees. He's a God who sends. He's a God who's present. He's a God who promises. He's a God who prepares, but he's a God that provides grace. Moses, look at what he said, the last thing. After all this that God told him, chapter 4, verse 13, he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of whom thou wilt send. In other words, you know, like Isaiah later on would say, here am I, send me. Moses said, here am I, could you send somebody else? Be all right? You know, and whoever you want to send, be fine. God wasn't pleased with that. The Bible says in verse 14, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, is not Aaron, the Levite, thy brother? I know he can speak well. Well, Moses didn't even give him a chance to speak later on, as we see in the Bible. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee, and when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. You know, even though God was angry, he had patience with him, didn't he? And he was still dealing with this. I believe there's times we've gotten off track. As a Christian, you know, it's possible to get far off track. I've tried to emphasize in my ministry, and I still am, that as a child of God, we can get very close to God. You know, we can have a consistent life. We're called to a victorious life. That is what Canaan is all about. Joshua led them into Canaan. It's not heaven like some of the songs say. It is a victorious Christian life. That is a life filled with trust in him, in his grace, and his strength. They were still fighting the enemy. We're not fighting the enemy in heaven. But God's called us to victory. God expects a victorious Christian life. But God who does that gives us the grace to do it, and we still fall short. Someone said God's eradicated the sin nature. No, we still have the flesh. We still have the sin nature. We still have part of us. On the other side, we have a part of us that can get far away from God. And we think that we're invulnerable. Therefore, to him that thinketh he standeth, better take heed lest he fall, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. If we get overconfident in ourselves and, you know, some spiritual victories and start patting ourselves on the back, we're in trouble because pride comes in. And before, you know, pride brings a fall, as the Bible says. But, you know, and that's happened to all of us. We get overconfident. We get our mind on ourselves and woe is me and feeling sorry for ourselves. We get our mind on the obstacles and we get down on what God can do. But I'm glad he's the God of all grace, the God of the second chance and the third chance. And he said, verse 16, he shall be a spokesman unto thy people. He shall be even he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of a God. And thou shalt take this rod in thy hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs. And Moses went, returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said unto him, let me go, I pray thee, and return to my brethren in Egypt, see whether they be alive. Jethro said unto Moses, go in peace. He went out from the presence of God that was so patient with him. Did God kill Moses at that time? Of course not. God dealt with him and continued to encourage his heart. And God's done that with you. We that get on ourselves and think it's all about us. We that look at all the things in the way and the hardness of men's hearts and our own inabilities and our own seemingly helpless to do anything about it. But God says you're more than conquerors through him that loved us. You know, a remedy for excuses in our life is a fresh view of God and what he wants to do in our life. And my prayer for you is, first of all, that you'll be saved. If you're not saved, you're not on the right side. You're still yet in your sins. And that's the most dangerous place in America is to be out of salvation, to be unsaved. It's a terrible place to be. Don't delay. If God's dealing with you about salvation, whosoever it will may come. But we as God's people, are we holding back? Are we waiting to say, well, maybe after this virus is over, then I can start serving God. Maybe after this, I get a little more money, get this bill cleared up, then I can serve God. Maybe after somebody treats me a little better, then I can serve God. No, God wants you to put down those excuses and put your all on the altar and just give whatever little you have yourself to God. And God will take you and he'll use you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these that have come out today, Lord. Thank you for the simple message that you laid on my heart. Thank you that you're such a great God. You do such mighty things. And that you can take a simple person like each one of us, Lord, and use us for your honor and glory. God, I just pray you will respond as you've spoken to our heart today, Lord. And we'll go out of this place differently. If there be any that are lost, that they'll come to you. And you are the I am of salvation. You are the way, the truth, the life. You are the door to salvation. Each one of us that are saved, you're the way of victory. It's all through you that Christ lives in us. Just meet the needs in this invitation time, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand. As God works in your heart,